Hello, and welcome to the Fuel Run Recover podcast, helping everyday runners fuel better, run smarter, and recover faster so you can reach your full performance potential. I'm your host, Stephanie Natchek, dietitian, fitness coach, and a fellow runner too. As the owner of Stephanie Natchek Performance Nutrition, I've spent the last 10 years helping runners learn to fuel their bodies, level up their running performance, and establish healthier relationships with food and exercise. If you're ready to reconnect with your love of running, then let's get started on today's episode. All right. So before we get started with today's episode, I wanted to invite you to check out a few great free resources that I created just for runners. To get them, all you have to do is click on the link in the show notes or visit www.stephanienatchek.com. If you visit my website, there's a little pop-up box that comes up and it'll prompt you to enter your email address, and these guides will be sent right to your inbox. The first guide is my fueling guide for runners. So in this resource, you'll find my top fueling tips for runners, as well as some specific meal ideas for both your pre- and post-run fuel. If you've been struggling to understand what to eat when to support your running and just figuring out like what those meal ideas, like what those meals look like, what kind of foods you should be including before versus after you run, what the difference is between pre- and post-run fueling, then this guide is exactly what you need to get you started on the right path. The other guide that I created is my strength training guide for runners. So this guide includes both a PDF resource, has some tips, guidelines, and links to my YouTube series where I actually walk you through all of the exercises in the program. This is a great beginner strength training guide for runners who want an effective but efficient full body workout that helps support the key muscles and movements you need to run stronger and injury-free. So once again, both of these guides are available together. I have them put together as a little bundle for you. You can just click on the link in the show notes or go over to www.stephanienatchek.com, enter your email address just the one time, and both of these free guides will get sent to your inbox right away. I hope you enjoy these resources and find them helpful in supporting you and your running. And now let's get into today's episode. All right. So hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Fuel Run Recover podcast, where it is my absolute pleasure to be sitting down with Fuel Train Recover program graduate Sam Clemens, who is here to share her story with us and with all of you about her journey with running and with learning about nutrition as a runner. And, you know, I just think that she's got so many relatable stories and experiences and things to share. So thank you so much, Sam, for taking the time out of your schedule to join me for today's episode.
Thank you, Steph. I'm honored that you asked me to be on your podcast. You know how much I've enjoyed the podcast, so I'm really excited to be part of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what I'd love to start with is to let everyone get to know you a little bit better. Tell us a little bit about yourself and then how you got into running.
Sure. I am 47 years old. I live in the San Francisco Bay Area. I'm a psychologist, but I work as a director of a large mental health clinic. I'm married to my wife, Leslie. We've been together for 23 years, and we have three dogs, one of whom is my great running partner. I have a Vishla, Hazel. So I got into running when I was 19 years old, 18, probably 18 years old. You're going to hear a theme. My older sister, who I'm very close to, she's 7 years older than me, has played a big role in my running journey. So you'll hear her in a lot of my stories. But I had played soccer in high school, and I just wasn't really wasn't improving, wasn't enjoying it anymore. And so I decided to join a gym instead. And I quit soccer and joined a gym. And I started power walking on the treadmill every day at the gym. And one day I decided to try running, and I liked it. And that's around that same time period. My sister said, hey, there's this, you know, we had this local 5K in our neighborhood every year. Let's do that 5K. And it's so funny looking back now, because we were both so concerned about finishing it. We were really worried that we would not finish the 5K, and we did. And she said, hey, why don't we do a marathon? We've done a 5K. Let's do a marathon.
Straight to a full marathon.
So we did. We did the LA Marathon, and it was a warm day. And I had no idea about hydration. I had no idea about fueling. Actually, one of her friends was a triathlete and coached us and told us to eat oatmeal and drink coffee before the race, which was a horrible idea. So I was pretty sick at the end of that marathon.
Yeah, because you had never ate oatmeal or drank coffee before a run before?
No.
Of course not. No, of course not.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I had no idea what I was doing. I don't know that I may have drank something during that race. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I drank anything before the race except coffee.
Oh my goodness. And probably lots of it too, right?
Yeah. But I finished and I fell in love with the sport. And I've now probably done like 20 road marathons and gosh, probably 100 half marathons. And more recently, I've gotten into probably over the last 5 or so years, more trail racing. And as you know, when we were working together, I did a 3-day stage race. And I've also done some other ultra marathon events. And really just running has been such a gift in my life, you know, for many reasons. And I'm sure we'll go into more. But that's me, and that's how I got into running.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, like you mentioned, you know, over the past couple of decades, you've had tons of race experience, varying levels, varying different types of events and road races, trail races, and everything in between. Do you have any favorite races? Like, are there any that you just really love, either ones that you always run and they're just, you know, a tradition for you, or any that stand out in your mind as being really special?
Yeah, absolutely. One stands out as probably one of the best days of my life. And that was another sister-inspired run. Hey, why don't we go to Switzerland and run a marathon up a mountain? Of course, yes, let's go. So the Jungfrau Marathon would be my favorite. It was in Switzerland. It was in the Swiss Alps. And it was just, the scenery was incredible. The people were incredible. The trip was incredible. We did a ton of hiking after, you know, in the week after the marathon. And just, I mean, I'm from Southern California. You know, I grew up at Disneyland looking at the Matterhorn. But when you're running or hiking near the real thing, that's just amazing. So that would definitely be my favorite. And then in terms of marathon, and then I've had so many like special marathons otherwise, like my best friend and I did New York together many years ago when she was living there. And that was such a wonderful moment. I think I told you that was the marathon I had bronchitis for and carried an inhaler, but I was doing that marathon. And then one that we do, my sister and I do every year, is called the Dirty Dozen. And we actually do the Dirty Half Dozen, which is 6 hours of running a 3-mile loop. And it's really how many loops can you do in 6 hours? And usually we get in about 30 miles. And it's just become a family tradition. It's in a beautiful place near my house. So she comes up for the weekend and we have a great time together. So yeah, I could talk all day about the mini races and all the memories.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so nice to have, you know, not only running be such a tradition for you, but also to have such a close knit group of other people that you run with. I mean, your sister, to be able to do these events together and, you know, have that just be like these really fun, special memories that you have. Like, I think that's just so cool.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I actually met my wife running. We met through a mutual friend. We were all in a gay and lesbian running club in San Francisco. And our mutual friend invited us to run together. And we ran a little faster than she did and ended up talking the whole time. And that was, and then about a month later, went out on our first date. So, you know, running gave me that gift as well.
No kidding.
And so, yeah, so that was, you know, it's just, yeah, it's been a great part of my life.
Yeah. And so were you both invited there as like a setup, or it was just like, it just happened to be that you met there?
No, it was really just a friend thing. Okay, she was actually talking about her current girlfriend who did not sound like a good match. And so I was just listening. And and then about a month later, the friend said to me, "Oh, she thought you were cute." And I said, "Oh, I thought she was cute too, but she has a girlfriend." And she said, "Not anymore." And so we went out and that was it.
Oh, what a
23
story.
Years later, here we are.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. And she still runs as well?
She does not, but fortunately, she's a physician, so her primary passion is her work, and it takes a lot of time. And but she's supportive of me and my running and going off and doing these adventures with my sister, which has been great.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've had like decades of running experience and done so many different events and races, and you know, it's taken you all over the world. At what point did you decide you were like, man, I really need to work with someone on my nutrition? Like, when did you, with all of this experience and all the racing you've done over the years, when did you kind of come to the realization that maybe there was something with your nutrition that wasn't quite hitting the mark?
Yeah, I you know, I wish I could say it was about my running nutrition, why I sought you out. But I think it was about about something else. I was just, you know, I'm 47. I was feeling pretty uncomfortable in my skin, actually. And just my weight wasn't changing. I really couldn't get away with what I used to get away with in terms of eating. And I was like, I kind of was on this roller coaster of restricting during the week and then overeating on the weekend, because every weekend I was doing some last supper eating, you know, like this is the last time I'm going to get it until next weekend, so I better eat. And I wanted off that roller coaster. And that's why I called you and sought you out. It was kind of like either, okay, I've got to go back to therapy for this, or I have to do something else. And I had listened to you on the Running Explained podcast, and I'd gone through your online material, and I just really respected you and felt like you could be helpful, and some of the things you talked about were what I was struggling with. And and so we started working together, and I can get into some of the details of what I learned, but I definitely feel so much more at peace 6 months later than I did then. And so the side benefit was that, yes, I did learn how to fuel for running. You know, I said I've been running for, you know, decades, as you said, and I have never eaten before I ran. I run fasted. I have taken fuel during long runs, but, I just didn't know how to do that properly. And so that also was something you helped me with. And I think it was just a side benefit of what I actually came to you for.
Yeah. And I love that you kind of mentioned, you know, needing help with the nutrition and sort of figuring out how to eat day to day in a way that's balanced and positive and all of that. But also just mentioning that, you know, I either need help with this sort of in that, I'll say, very tangible way, or I need therapy for this, just from your perspective as a psychologist, because there is such a close relationship between, you know, our nutrition and our relationship with food and our mental health. And just like all of these things are so interconnected that it's often very hard to separate and tease out, you know, where is it that we're struggling in terms of just needing to understand food and nutrition better? Like, where do we maybe just need a little bit of education about how to eat properly, and where is it that there's all of these sort of internal conflicts that are really what's holding us back from doing the things that we ultimately know we should be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I could go in a couple different directions, but I have struggled with my weight since I was a child. And I was pretty overweight as a child and a teenager. And so I think, you know, of course, one of the benefits of running was helping me maintain a healthy weight. And sometimes that wasn't a healthy weight, that was underweight. Yeah, so I mean, it's something I've struggled with for years, and I think it's going to be an ongoing journey for me. I don't think it ends. But I think something you really helped me to see was when we first started talking and you said, okay, tell me what you're eating, you know, morning, noon, and night. And you're like, okay, so you're not eating enough during the day, like my work day. You know, I cut down, so my sandwich only had one piece of bread, so I wasn't eating too many carbs. And you're like, yeah, that's not enough. And what I was eating for breakfast, you're like, yeah, you need to eat more than that. And I remember saying to you, like, a couple weeks later, thank you, because I'm not starving anymore during the day. And you know, that was just such a gift. And then, you know, we talked about eating out, because I love to eat out, and we have great restaurants around here in the Bay Area. And, you know, you said you can order something. You said, I order something I really like and then take half of it home, you know? And it's like, oh yeah, I never did that, as obvious as it was, because I was like, I have to get it all now because I can't have this on Monday. You know, and it was like really letting go of that all or nothing thinking was so helpful to me.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And having that flexibility built into a healthy eating plan, so that it's not, you know, and your experience of, you know, the Last Supper eating on the weekends, of just going all out and eating to the point of being uncomfortable and overdoing it with how much we're eating on the weekends, and then trying to sort of pay for that during the week by going hungry and eating the smallest amount we can possibly get away with. I mean, you know, I can't tell you how common of a struggle that is for people. And I think so many people listening are probably nodding their heads along with like, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. That sounds like me. And on that scale of just the undereating, overeating cycle, adding in using running and using more mileage and more training volume as a way to try and create this bigger calorie deficit, we end up hitting a wall. You know, we reach a point where we either can't maintain that running volume and we can't maintain that calorie deficit that we're trying to, or we reach a point where we can't be so restricted. Like, it just, there's not an end point that is good there. You know, it doesn't end well for anybody who gets into that kind of scenario. So what we want to look for is not, okay, how do we cut out all the restaurant meals? How do we cut out any takeout? How do we stop with all the quote unquote bad eating and only just stick to the perfect clean good eating? Because that's not realistic either. And that's not necessary to be a healthy runner, a happy runner, a fit person. You know, none of that stuff is required. So, you know, finding that middle ground of how do we navigate weekends and socializing and restaurants and all of that stuff and still enjoy our food, enjoy our meals, not feeling restricted and deprived, is, you know, one of the most important lessons that everybody can learn. And it's funny because it really has nothing to do with running.
Exactly. It really doesn't. It doesn't have a lot to do with running at all. You know, this is something I would practice whether I was running or not running. And, you know, I had gotten, God, for years, I'd gotten into this thing where I'd weigh every Friday because, you know, I'm going to be the lightest on Friday, right? Because I've been restricting all week.
Yeah.
And you know, and I wasn't seeing change. And you're like, and I'd listened to your podcast and you talk about this before. And then we talked about it where you said, you know, I actually have it in my notes. Your weight's not going to change. Your weight should not change, you know? You know, I forget how you put it, and you know, but basically your muscle and your body fat, one muscle will go up, body fat will go down. And, you know, when I was in this last training cycle and when I was eating the way you and I had talked about, I got so many comments when people saw me, they're like, wow, you're so lean. You know, that was always the word people use was lean, you know, and I thought, okay, my weight actually did not change. I mean, maybe it went a pound, 2 pounds, you know, but it did not significantly change. But there was such a difference in body composition. Mm-hmm. You know, and now I'm not at that training volume. So I'm, you know, kind of accepting that I'm not going to be looking as lean, and that's okay. You know, like that's just another level of this acceptance.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just like bodies change over time and training, you know, the same way we can't maintain that like peak fitness, you know, ready to run a marathon tomorrow all year round, we also, you know, usually aren't going to maintain this specific body composition all year round necessarily either. And that doesn't need to be the expectation, right? Bodies change. We change. It's all kind of a fluid thing. And as long as we understand and have, you know, sort of this positive outlook on our bodies and our abilities and, you know, all the things that we've accomplished as athletes, it can really make it easier to have that acceptance and to be okay with, you know, not trying to do so much running, so much training, and, you know, trying to maintain this kind of level of leanness that maybe just isn't necessary or ultimately beneficial 12 months of the year.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think something I appreciated about our work together and about you so much is that I just always felt you were so non-judgmental. And, you know, like I remember saying to you, Steph, I want runner's legs. And you said, what does that mean? What does that look like? You know, and we both cracked up because I thought, how ridiculous, you know, that I'm saying this. And then, yeah, so I really appreciated that about you. I just want you to know that you just never, like, anytime I'd mention my weight or a running pace, there was never like, oh, that's good or that's not good. Or it was just, okay, you know, like neutral. I never felt like I had to hit a certain mark for you.
Yeah.
And so thank you for that. And I hope people listening, you know, I want people to know that about you because it was such an important part of our work together.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And so along the way, you know, you've talked already a little bit about some of the big kind of lessons and takeaways and things that you got. Were there any other really important lessons or things that you learned, you know, whether it's about your nutrition or about your relationship with food and, you know, or some of the big key takeaways for you?
Yeah, a couple things. You know, I remember when we talked about, I told you about, you know, what I was eating, and you said to me, and I imagine that you don't increase the amount of food that you eat when you're training. And
just
I'm like, how do you know?
Just a guess.
Said, how do you know? And how do you know that? And you said, you're not my first client. And
I like that you still consider me non-judgmental, because that's a pretty sassy, sassy response to that. But
it's great because it actually normalized it for me, you know, like, 100%. Okay, I'm not the only one who does this. So I think that was one big theme is that, you know, you do have to adjust, for, you know, what you're doing and your training volume, and you do have to eat more when you're training more. And then, you know, right now I'm, you know, kind of in between training cycles, and it's a nice relief not to have to eat it. You know, I just kind of eat what I feel like, and, you know, I have a good appetite. So that's still, a significant amount, but it's not, you know, like, I don't have to stay on top of it as much. And so that was really just the whole athlete's plate and the increasing what you eat for the training volume. That was an important lesson, and decrease. And then the other thing was, you know, just the fueling before a run. And boy, I made myself do it. Because like I said, I've always run fasted. And, but I started at least having a banana and sometimes a granola bar for those long runs, and then taking gels every half hour. And I felt so much better throughout my runs. And I told you that I did a training run that was a half marathon, and my last mile was my best mile, you know, because I had trained properly, trained properly, fueled properly throughout the race. And so that was big. And then the other, I didn't mention this, but the other reason I really came to you is because, I really wanted to get strength training back into my life. Mm-hmm. I had done it like in those gym days way back when, and kind of sporadically throughout the years. But I hadn't recently. And I just knew, especially in my late 40s, that it was something I needed to do. And I'd heard you say before, you know, it's non-negotiable for runners. You should strength train. And I really took that to heart. And so, yeah, so I think that has been great, is I'm now strength training twice a week and have continued that. And I think of it as like taking my medicine, because I don't love it like running. It's not as fun, but I continue to take my medicine. So that was another big lesson.
Yeah. And that's a great one, because, you know, you mentioned before seeing that change in body composition and, you know, people even noticing that there was a difference and stuff like that. And honestly, that probably wouldn't have happened the same way if you hadn't been doing the strength training, like if you weren't actively working on building that muscle for, you know, those many, many months of training for your big 3-day event. It's so easy when we're doing these high training volumes to actually like lose muscle mass when we're doing a lot of endurance and distance work. So we really do need to incorporate the strength training in a very, you know, planned, deliberate way in order to make sure that we're not seeing unwanted changes in body composition, things going the wrong direction with our body composition as we get ready for a race.
Yeah. I will say it was really hard to keep up the strength training towards the end of the training cycle. I actually did let it go for 2 or 3 weeks. It was just like, I was exhausted because, you know, I'm also working full time. So it was hard getting in all that mileage and the strength, but I've picked it up again now that the race is over and we'll continue.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk results, because you know, one of the things that was really exciting for me was seeing all of your race results and all of the things that happened. You mentioned your half marathon where, you know, you just felt stronger and got faster and just, you know, had these really positive experiences with integrating better fueling. What were some of the results that you got from this whole process that were most exciting for you?
Yeah, I actually, I mentioned the Dirty Dozen, and we did that in July in preparation for Trans Rockies, which was in August. And, we did, instead of doing the 6-hour, we did the 3-hour. And I came in third place overall for women that day. And I felt great. You know, I felt great for the 3 hours. And I was carrying fuel with me. I carried my pack, which I'd never done during that race before. And so I didn't have to rely on them, even though they did have aid. And took my gels and drank my water and Gatorade. And I felt great that day. Trans Rockies itself, as you know, was very difficult for me. It was 60 miles over 3 days in the Colorado Rockies. And day one was great, 19 miles. I did it, I think, around 5 hours. I felt great that day. day two and day three were definitely harder. So I can't say that I had the best results from the ultimate race that I did, but I did it and we had fun, you know? Yeah. And so no complaints. It's all learning.
Absolutely. So the Dirty Dozen race that you've done before, really the main difference there from previous years that you've been doing it was integrating a fueling strategy, like having the extra fuel that you normally wouldn't bring with you was, you know, I mean, obviously you have another year of training under your belt and every race is unpredictable and things don't always go as planned. But it was the integration of using gels, hydrating better, and just being more on top of that part of it that really sort of allowed you to see that accelerated performance on that same race course.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think I ran like 17 miles that day and I just felt, I felt great.
Yeah.
And so I really want to, fun.
Yeah. And I really want to just highlight that for people, you know, for anybody who's listening is, you know, we can sometimes spend many years training as runners, decades training as runners. We can put a ton of effort into getting ready for a specific race. And, you know, sometimes the missing link and the thing that we need the most, not just to like see better performance, but to also feel better and like just walk away from that event feeling good, feeling strong, feeling really positive about how it went, is being mindful of our hydration and our nutrition, especially in July, you know, when it's so hot out everywhere and we need to just pay attention to those things that much more. Is even if you do have a lot of experience as a runner, sometimes there still might be something missing that, you know, not only allows you to maybe have better performance, but also like feel good and enjoy the race experience that much more. I meet so many runners who do this to themselves of signing up for a race, doing these events and they're torture and they don't need to be, you know, I mean, running a marathon or running an ultra race is never a walk in the park. It's always going to be challenging. It's always going to be hard, but it doesn't have to be deadly. It doesn't have to be the worst thing you've ever put yourself through if you're taking care of your body as you're going through that process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So from, you know, from kind of old Sam, we'll call her, to new Sam, who now has all this knowledge and all this practice. You know, if you kind of think back to yourself, maybe a few years ago, what is the thing that you're doing now that is probably the most surprising to you, either something that you learned or something that you're doing differently? What has been the most surprising thing along the way?
Good question. I think there's a couple things on, in terms of kind of the body and weight stuff, I'm not weighing really anymore. Maybe once a month, once every couple months, and that's different. I used to be religious about that Friday weigh-in, and I've let go of that, which has been, a real gift in terms of my mental health. And then in terms of running, the huge change that I already mentioned is the fueling, is the actually eating before, eating during. I'll never forget when you told me I was going out for a 7-mile run with a friend and you said, take a gel at your halfway mark. And I was thinking, what are you talking about? Take a gel at a 3.5-mile mark.
It's only 7 miles.
It's only 7 miles. You know, and now I will do that. You know, I will take that gel. So that's just been a huge difference for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And so for anybody who's listening that, you know, really resonates with your story and you know, really sees a lot of themselves reflected in the challenges that you had and you know, some of your experiences, what advice would you have for those runners? What would you tell those runners who are listening to this and really connecting with your story?
Yeah. I think the thing I would say is just be gentle. Be gentle with yourself. And if you have the means, work with Steph or somebody like Steph. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's such an important message, you know, is is giving yourself that grace and sort of that space. You know, we love running and we get into this sport because it's supposed to be fun, right? Like we invest a lot of time, we invest a lot of money, we invest a lot of ourselves into the sport of running. And it's amazing how over the years that enjoyment can really get chipped away by body issues and confusion and conflict around food and struggles with weight or not getting faster. And, you know, all of these things start to really, really weigh very heavily on us to the point where we continue to run. But if you really ask sometimes, you really ask people like, are you having a good time? Like, are you enjoying this? I don't think the answer is yes. And to give ourselves that space and that self-kindness first and foremost, I think is, you know, such a great piece of advice and such a good thing to keep in mind is, you know, be kind to yourself. Remember that this is supposed to be fun. And then, you know, of course, finding outlets and ways to kind of make that happen, whether that's, you know, following, you know, podcasts like this one and getting really that good quality information, or, you know, if working with somebody to actually kind of dig into what you're doing and get the help that you need. But that's why we're here. That's why we do the podcast, so that people can learn and they can, you know, start to get some good lessons and tips to really look at how they're fueling and get the details on how to fuel properly, but then also, dig a little bit further into their relationship with food and their relationship with running to make changes in those areas as well.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to thank you again so, so much, Sam. I mean, not only for being such a great client, and, you know, always, we always had a lot of fun when we were chatting and, getting on our calls together, but also, you know, for taking the time to be so honest and open and sharing your story and your struggles and how far you've come with everything that you've been working on. Is there anything else that you wanted to share with our listeners today? Any final thoughts, comments, stories, things that you want to let us know before we let you go today?
One more piece of wisdom that I'm actually living right now, that you and I talked about was, you know, after my race ended in August, you said, take 5 or 6 months off. And I thought, well, that's too long. And it probably is too long, you know, it probably is too long, but I am taking that off season right now. And I'm still running, but I'm not putting any pressure on myself to do a certain amount of mileage every week. If I feel like doing the recumbent bike, I'm doing the recumbent bike. The only thing I have to do is get in those 2 strength training workouts a week. But I think that's just so important too for people to embrace, is really give yourself a break. I loved when you said to me, you know, just like a spouse, you can't miss them if they don't leave. And it's the same with running. You need to miss it. You need to miss it and be excited about it again. So that's just, that would be another piece of advice I think I've really learned and would like to share.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's a wonderful, wonderful last piece of wisdom. All right. Well, thank you one more time, you know, from the bottom of my heart for agreeing to come on and do this episode with me today. And thank you to everybody listening for taking the time out of your day to come and hang out with us and listen to us chat and share some stories. That is all we've got for this week's episode of the Fuel, Run, Recover podcast. And I can't wait to see you right back here next week. Bye for now. The information on this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not to be used or relied upon for the diagnosis or treatment of any health condition. This information does not create a client-practitioner relationship and should not be used as a substitute for professional medical advice.